during the recess, we've been told that five of us need to attend a meeting on the Thursday afternoon. It's called Dialogue Rio Plus 20. It's the parliament is discussing the whole issue of Rio Plus 20, because you know there's a legislators forum before Rio Plus 20. So they're going to do that, and we've then asked the department that input, which Minister last time indicated we should be given the input from the department. In the morning we'll do that, and then the five of us will attend that meeting in the afternoon. If you're not one of the five in the committee and you want to go, I will again, if you want to, just tell me you're interested and I will try again. I did suggest to the organizers that the whole committee should go, but let's leave it there. And then Friday meeting is not going to take place. I've moved that to May, but I'll give you the whole program later this afternoon so we can just have a look at that quickly. There's just some issues on this Friday that, so you luckily will be able to go home. If you're not part of the five, you can go home on Thursday morning. If you're part of the five, you can go home on Thursday evening. And then next week, you know, we've got the other, the entities and so on we're looking at. So that's our program for the week, and let's work hard in these 2 days. There's a lot of issues in the Department of Water we need to understand, so we understand very clearly what is happening, what are the processes of change taking place, so that we can be in partnership with the Minister and the Department to make sure we deal with all those issues. If you saw the front page of the newspaper, Minister's already warning that their price increase is coming. They're telling you the water, hey, the Molewa said big price increases. So I immediately... Which newspaper have I got? No, the rhinos are fine. We're all happy. That's all these huge price increases you're going to give us. There. No, not there. Oh, there we are. Trickle up. High water charges on the cards, warns Edwin Malewa. Yeah. So you got it. Well, I get it for free at least. So it's obviously a vitally important issue, and we've already indicated to the National Planning Commission, remember when we were here, that we do not fully understand why they don't have a whole chapter on water. I mean, in your National Planning Commission, you're planning for the next 30 years in South Africa. I mean, I would imagine central to it is our capacity of our people, and secondly is water. I mean, I can't think of anything more. So we've already had a committee across party lines, we send that message to the National Planning Commission to say we think you're not facing water is an important area. So that's how important we do regard the issues of water. So having said all that, and not to waste too much time because Minister has got limited time, if everyone's happy that we can start, I'm going to hand over to Minister. Everyone happy? Okay. Minister, over to you, and good morning.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I, first of all, would like to express our very sincere appreciation for this opportunity and moment to be with you at the committee level and go through the problem that we are engaged with in the department. I always say that there is a reason why South Africa has the opportunity to have a very vigorous program of accounting and accountability. It is in that spirit that we take exercises of this nature. In the spirit that says we have to account, we have to be subjected to scrutiny in as far as concerns how we utilize the funds of the people, but also how our programs as government make an impact on the people of South Africa. And we certainly rely on yourself as the committee to help us and work with us to really strengthen the programs that you are dealing with. So we're taking this exercise as a strengthening exercise so that collectively we can the other DGG, acting DGG in corporate services will speak to some of these issues. Why we have a Hollywood? There's only one Hollywood on top. Now, Squire Masangu, who else? Deborah Muchosi, and others. Communication Mava Scott. Others are members of a business process review committee, which will introduce now. And I'm going to really ask as chair to ask the chair firstly of the BPR as we move on in the report itself to speak to some of the issues introductory remarks, and ask each leader of the section whom I'm introduced at the time, or the chair would introduce at the time, to lead the discussions. Which I shall have introduced, obviously, just to get into the details of some of the work that we have done, so that for purpose of the committee, you may have as much detail as possible to look at and see what work is being done. We are here, obviously, to present the annual performance plan, which is a one-year plan of a broader part of the strat plan, which we tabled last year. And as required by the law, we then, on an annual basis, have to do an APP like this one. For purpose of yourselves, honourable members, chair, through you, to ensure that you monitor that the expenditure that we're having is in line with the plans that we have set, as South Africa now plans and spends money in accordance to our plans. Having said that, I would like to also indicate that the plan, as you would be receiving it, would be detailed by various DDGs and the DG and COO over the next 2 days. So for now, I am really going to start by introducing to yourself to the subject matter that we've been dealing with, which is really a turnaround of the department, so we call it. We don't prefer to call it a restructuring or whatever and all those things, but rather a business process review exercise, because we do believe that we've had many restructurings and restructuring one after the other, but what is needed is to have a clearly designed business process in the department, one area speaking to one another, intertwining and dovetailing, so that there's a very smooth operation and efficient operation in the work that we do. So we firstly talk to the, well, let me just first of all, before I say, we appointed a team of experts, let me put it that way. By the way, they are not coming as consultants, but a team of experts last year, each individual coming and bringing on board a particular kind of specialization that we think we need. And this is the one team, they are not company A or B, but they are experts, 13 of them, ranging from skills like the finance skills, and within finance, as we know, that finance is quite broad. There's also auditing, and that team member is actually working with and not working above. Working with our management team in the finance section to get the work in the audit area and the financial area properly audited, improving on the audit, improving on the financial accountability, the financial management, all the ills that you had identified as the previously, that we have identified, that SCOPA had identified, so that we deal with those in a much more succinct manner and positive manner, so that we can deal with, do away with all those things. You realize, for instance, as we're reporting how we are intending to have a clean audit report, we do know that the clean audit report doesn't really quite mean that you are here. We want to have the business flows rather much cleaner than even reflected as reflected through the audit report. So in other words, we really, through this process, doing all in our power to get that at the end of it. You, for instance, had a discussion or a query raised on, rightfully so, on the area of IT, which has been quite struggling in the department. The contract that has been renewed without process or over and over again, I think 3 times. We're dealing with that. It's one of the areas where we're almost done with, and again, we'll report how far we are in terms of both organizational structure as well as the other issues that relate to how we think we should actually take this matter forward in relation to getting a properly appointed service provider in a manner that is actually taking us forward and making us efficient and effective to deliver services of water to the people of South Africa. You realize that we also have, and therefore they are experts in that regard, IT, two of them are members of the GPR. We've been working with, unfortunately here, with one or two people, because there has been no structure at all in the department. We have some 40 or so people who are mainly from the company itself that used to do the work. In other words, we had a real share. No structure, no people, well, few people, but all in a nature that actually is like what the tail is wagging the dog. The company IT is informing the department what to do and when and so on. Everything else was determined from that point of view. Again, we will express in the report how we are dealing with that particular manner. There are two experts who are with us. One of them is unfortunately not here today. You'll also realize that amongst them there are sociology specialists in policy design, Prof. Nkondo here, working as a work stream and with other people to look at specifically the policy gaps where there may be a need to actually deal with certain policy imperatives where we need to close those gaps, but also look at the philosophical and sociological issues. And sociological, we mean really how the people involved, how is South Africa utilizing its own wealth, as in our people, to actually get the water sector improved. Both working with universities, with the experts in that field, and other areas. So it's a report that we'll give. Again, it carries with it the political context that I'll just deal with right now. And we have as well the human resource specialists who are part of this team. We have identified some ills and yourselves as well previously that are related to human resource development. It's not really just a structural issue. It's a culture of the organization, how we do things, how efficient we are and how effective we are. Because I have no doubt that in the department there are people, and I keep saying this at the committee level, there are people who know what they are doing. The issue is management and getting proper structured management and manage themselves in a kind of a way that directs the vision of the sector in itself. Because we are indeed a sector leader. And if that leadership is not quite played at the level of the department, to lead even the entire government, by the way, the water sector, external as well, those of our people who are role players, we won't go far. So it's a very, very key thing that we need, that we have to deal with. It has to do with not just the structure, but the whole organizational development issues and how the organization lives. Because a non-living organization can't take us to where we want to go, as we say. So we have been tinkering with those things. The tinkering is a tinkering. with those things on a continuous basis, so the report will also come out today, and we go on and on. The legislative review, I did say that we are looking at the gaps, and we do believe that it's important to highlight some of the areas where we think that there should be legislative reform and program. We have got to have embarked on the legislative reform. That process has started. We've already indicated through the leader of government business that we'd like to table all three acts for just a bit of a review, some of them. Some is going to really be quite a mega thing as we propose it. But we'd like to just introduce that today. And of course, that will be a part of the process that we are rolling out as the legislative process will talk be spoken to. But again, that exercise, we all know that is going to be preceded by policy formulation. And that already there's a policy proposal document which we may decide how we handle it in the due process, Chair, because we couldn't wait to have just this legislative review without having that policy. It has to be tabled. It's a requirement by the state law advisory and so on. We obviously have some people who are experts in water, and that risk team is led by one of us BPR members who's not here today, Jennifer. This is Barbara. Barbara Schreiner. Barbara and team are doing the water resource management. In other words, that's the content, the real core of how we are managing our water in the country and helping in that regard. It would have been evaluated certain things that have been happening and so on and so on. And then, of course, we have within the planning area, we've had a relook at what plans do we have, our plans structured, are they integrated, and so on. So this report that I'm talking about will really capture all those issues. But in a nutshell, before I get into all the things, because I did say that for democratic reasons, I am going to ask each one to deal with the details. But Chair, we do believe that water must be, and I'm using this word must, very confident that it is actually the right word to be used, must be placed on a continuous basis at the heart of everything else that we do, and at the center of everything else that not just government does, but the entire society of South Africa does. And we agree with you in that context that even in the national planning, there has to be a special chapter on water. Because you can't locate water under infrastructure. It's not just an infrastructure issue. You can't locate water under your climate change issue. It's not just a climate change related issue. So if you put it half there, you're likely to actually lose the meaning of what we want to do. So indeed, I think it's a point that we have to all drive until we see this reality happening. This vision. We certainly have been having discussions with all over, including the president himself, to sensitize people about the importance of water and really putting the need to put water at the heart of everything. We can't do anything without water, we do believe, central to every developmental aspect. However, be that as it may, we have also noted that there's a context that we have actually to place the water development under. And that context really is that we do have a historical background, and that historical background suggests that, as we look at it, there has been, for a long time, certainly before 1994, a whole lot of process that actually polarized our developments in the country. And this polarization, you see it through how our infrastructure provision, as in development sectors, is actually structured. For instance, where you find majority of your good infrastructure of that supports agriculture, whether it's irrigation schemes, it's canals, it's whatever, it's anything that's related to water provision that supports agriculture, you find it in certain instances in certain areas and not in other areas. It's a historical background. We are not proud of that historical background. All we're saying, we recognize that historical background and we've got to deal with it in a positive manner going forward as South Africans, without necessarily going back to look back all the time and scratch ourselves and beat ourselves up, but saying now that we are here, how do we continue to deal with this matter? It's a reality that exists. We have to face it head on and deal with it. We also have, the context that we're functioning with as a department, that, you know, there's been quite some ineffective and undemocratic technical processes, if you like, that could not allow us, especially since 1994, to deal with these changes that we needed. What am I saying in this regard? It's really that, if I unpack this, is that you look at the Water Act itself, as well as the water resource National Water Services Act and National Water Act itself. There isn't in any of these two legislation where you find a chapter or paragraph talking about how you, in a democratic manner, involve the people. In other words, what is in the other laws like your SGBs, participation, school governing bodies and so on, the CPS and so on, how you involve the entire society in a democratic manner to get these things done, an engagement and a true engagement. Of course, we do go to NEDLAC, but I don't know if that's all we want. And process of NEDLAC, I never see a mass meeting reporting about NEDLAC processes, with all due respect. It's another field, another level, but you need, in this act, we do believe, democratic processes that are effective and that are efficient. So these processes that we're talking about, you know, we do have chair, for instance, the need we needed to have of establishing bodies or structures that are called water user associations. Maybe that was an attempt to go to the lowest level. But are they also still democratic? Are they answering our questions? How do they relate with the local municipalities on the ground at various levels and so on? Is it what you want? I always say to team members here that I think we need a special minister for. This is off the record, please. Media, close your ears. I think we need a special minister to manage the 283 water users associations. 87. There are just too many. How do you get reports and really manage them effectively and so on? Is it what we want as democratic? Are they also democratic? So we do think that there's a need to really, and work has already begun, to think through these things and say, how do we involve in a structured manner, not in a manner that we say we're managing this water and we're selling this water, therefore you have to be, one of you must be part of this water user association. But the whole society in general must make a point and discussions with that. So we're also saying that there are inadequate skills, and please let's mind to underscore this name, this word, inadequate investment in requisite skills and competencies of water that we need. I did say that there are people in the department who are just knowledgeable, who have graduated, who passed whatever, they have passed in relation to what we require in water. But societally as a whole, in terms of society, we do need more. And on a continuous basis, we need to increase those levels of our people in order for us to be able to manage going forward this very important resource of our people. Here, I may just as well cite that we were recently given reports that analyzes how many, for instance, just in engineers we have in government, in South Africa. We are lucky to have a number of engineers in municipalities. If you analyze them, they are mainly in Cape Town. There's obviously a historical thing, if you like, because there's been, relatively speaking, levels of development higher than that, and then followed by Joburg and so on. But smaller municipalities, you hardly find an engineer, and they need those people. It's a kind of a chicken and egg situation. You can't have efficiency where you don't have an engineer. You want to have an engineer to have efficiency, and that engineer you can't have, but you can't, we sometimes say, start by being efficient so that you attract engineers. So it's those kinds of things. And I mean, it's just, what, 3 to 100,000 now that we have countrywide? And majority of those, I mean, just in ESCOM, for instance, are over 4,000 engineers. When the Department of Water Affairs has got something, the Department and the Water Board, 84 and 4,000 relative speaking. So we need to really, and we are thinking about those things, how we want to structure ourselves going forward. Organizational culture spoken about. We are being informed also about the financial mismanagement that has been there. The unreliable data, we have detected that as an issue as well. We need to deal with that. And of course, I think you have realized that and picked that up yourself. So we want clean data to clean everything else that we do, because we've got to be involved by informed by data. There is we do believe that this crisis or not crisis, the toy-toying that we see on the ground, right now, sometimes which are informed by lack of information sometimes about by, you know, lack of services in a true sense of the word, sometimes informed by, well, there are various reasons we do know, but there's a need for us to actually deal with all those things, because indeed where there's smoke, there's always fire. We do believe that we don't have to actually look away from these things. Poor people will not be able to stand and look at their areas that do not have water for over a long, long, long time, 17 years, 18 years down the line. So we are really working hard on mechanisms to close these gaps. We also think that in relation to some of the things that needs to be done in relation to policy, we need to now begin to focus on principles of equity and the real addressing the pro-poor issue, where we actually still have no services of water. That's what informs us from a background of political challenges that we have had and historical background. In this regard, we are going to be looking at some of the aspects that pertains to how we have not been able over time to actually deal with issue of a renewed form of reallocation of water. Water allocation, for instance, the manner in which it was done has not really been helpful, because I think we're trying to use some technical solutions to resolve a political challenge that we're facing. So what example that I can cite in relation to this is that you do have a historical, Trevor will show us that slide later on. In this country, the moving from the previous rights, water rights, we have moved into the entitlements. And having entitlements, we now have people having or required to register or to register water as users. And there's been a slow registration of water users, but that didn't say that if you have registered, what then happens? Slow process again of licensing, because one licensing has been one aspect that would have helped us to give and allocate water to people, certain that the number amount of water that they need, and therefore use the remaining, that which is, has been part of their entitlement, elsewhere. We have a new growth path which we have to allocate water to. But unfortunately, we don't have this water to allocate, because if you look at the pattern of users of water, 62% of the water of the country has been allocated for its use to the agricultural sector. Trevor said, about 20 or so percent is to the domestic, 24 to domestic. And if you drill down, you'll give us those figures. You drill down to those, you find that just about 2 or 3% is for households and even in rural areas in particular. Meaning that if you go, practical example, if you go to a municipality, and I've been to 3 areas to really test this thing that we're talking about, how effective, inefficient it is. Mogalakwena municipality wants to build 2 housing projects. They have been allocated 3,000 megaliters of water from the Flagbush Hill Dam. The agricultural sector has been allocated 60% of that water in the Flagbush Hill Dam. Industry is whatever amount. Now, municipality wants to build these houses. There are 2 new mining operations that wants to start mining in that area. They require a water license. And they all apply the housing applies to the municipality. Municipality can't allow that development to happen because there isn't any water that is allocated to them. The 3,000 megaliters that they have been allocated in terms of license, they no longer have even additional to allocate to those housing developments. They then say to the housing development people, the municipality, you know, no, we can't, anybody wants to develop. We can't let this development happen. We don't have water. You look at the same thing, and I did, that in this agriculture, 60% is allocated to agriculture. Please show me, you agriculture people, the Warm Bodies Farm, lot number A234910, that which this water 60% is allocated to. No, we are still thinking about the developments that are coming. The farmers, we are creating them. Those then they come and so on and so on. So the area development can happen because over allocation is elsewhere. And our people even say, no, we have actually dealt with this problem in this manner before. We have borrowed another mine water. They have now returned it after they have done some development and so on and so on. I'm just saying it's a mind-boggling situation. We can't have a situation like this on a continuous basis. When we have a growth path to actually deal with, we have to respond to the challenge. Everybody who wants to take South Africa forward must have water, whether it's agriculture or not. But for goodness sake, we don't believe that some people must hoard and not have water that they are not doing anything with. And this doesn't mean that any water is going to be taken from anybody that is a user and a real user who's taking South Africa forward. So we do believe that this context has got to be understood, and it's contained in the Act, unfortunately, part of it. Because the Act does allow trading with water. In other words, if you have an entitlement, you can't therefore, you are allowed to sell this entitlement, and that doesn't encourage anybody even to apply for a license, by the way. Because otherwise this may take this thing of mine. And that's partly what actually complicates this whole issue of application of license. That's why people would just remain with their one document missing, we can't process this for 6 months and so on and so on and 6 years. So these are some of the issues. I thought I should get into detail of those issues. But I did say that members of the team would then get into this issue or these issues, how we've been dealing with that. But I'm not sure how we should start, Chair. I think we should start with the financial. If Abel is here and Charles, is there through you, Rachel? Sorry. No, I'm looking for Abel. Do go ahead. Your findings and how we are. It's here in the document, Chair. We have distributed. Oh, sorry, the chairperson. Yeah, sorry.
Thanks, Minister. I thought that was a lovely overview. It really contextualized it nicely.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Minister, thank you for bringing us along, and good morning to members of the committee.
May I just ask something before you start? Chair, we have a document that has been circulated which contains
Chair and Minister. Just quickly, Minister, to introduce the team by saying that we were established in July last year, 2011, and the first task we embarked on was to produce an inception report based on the terms of reference. In other words, it was really to define how we are going to work and also to set targets for ourselves, because as we were working on the inception report, we were already interacting with the department in accordance with the terms of reference that were given. We then established a process. We have 10 work streams. One on HR and OD, finance, another on infrastructure, one on the water trading entity, another on institutional realignment, one on mandate and strategy, communication, management, ICT, policy, legislation, and legislation. That is 10 of the work streams. We work, even though we have formed ourselves into work streams, we have inter-stream cooperation, and so that we have synergies and we have good outcomes of our work. Obviously, just as an illustration, I mean, Minister says Mr. Dlamini should make an input now on finance. Mr. Dlamini would have worked very closely, for example, with WTE, and would have worked very closely with ICT. I hope I mentioned ICT in my, in announcing the work streams. So we have had that kind of interaction with work streams. But Minister, you mentioned this, and I think this is a very, very important point. We work extremely closely with units in the department, with the department wholly, and with units in the department. So our work streams, if it's finance, then we'll be working with finance in the department fully. But obviously, the work for us is to, Minister has this statement, when we were inducted, Minister says that you must fix this aeroplane whilst it's flying. So you can imagine what that means, that, you know, no more too much paperwork. We want solutions. And we really have taken our mandate seriously, that we must come up with interventions that work as we proceed with our inquiry. Minister, just without a waste of time, let me introduce members of the team. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands because you want to, but indicate where you are. I'll start with the convener of our secretariat, but also the head, the convener of the communication stream, Dr. Mkonto. Thank you. And then I will also call on the convener of the management work stream, Rob Mulder. I'm sure they haven't seen your hand. And well, he whips us, I can tell you. You know, we are at a stage now. We are at a stage when we have frequent meetings to find determine what resolutions are being put forward by each work stream. And so he always calls for his flash reports. I'm sure he's going to expose us today about how much we respond, how we respond on the call for flash points. Is it he'll tell you whether it's fortnightly or I think it's fortnightly. Charlotte, HR. I can see Zonda, infrastructure and legal. He's a practicing advocate. And then we have, I can't see from here, Abel Lamini, finance. Professor Gondo, please indicate.
Oh, policy, legislation, and into arrangement.
Yes. And Mr. Mudise OD, Rachel Finance, Ray, infrastructure, and institutional realignment. We have other members that are not with us. We have Mr. Metcalf and Barbara Schreiner, both, and ICT specialist, Mr. Kanjere. I wanted to say name. Mr. Joshua Kanjere. He was busy with the current bid processes in Pretoria. He couldn't join us. Thank you, Minister. Oh, my name is Bridget Mabanda, and I chair the committee. Thank you.
Have I forgotten somebody?
Okay. I Minister, they say I must follow quickly on your suggestion that finance should present. Mr. Dlamini, you have the floor.
I'm the chairperson of the committee. Good morning, Minister, chairperson of the committee and chairperson of the DPR. My name is Abel Dlamini. I'm involved in the finance part of the DPRC team with my colleague, Rachel Kadidas, on the far right. Both of us are chartered accountants with many years in public practice, and we have we have between the two of us split the finance management task, Rachel handling the audit related issues, I'm dealing with the financial management issues. I'll just highlight the projects that we are engaged in and also give you a brief progress that has been achieved to date. Starting with the responsibilities of Rachel on the audit side, mainly to dealing with the previously raised Auditor General queries and coming up with a remedy or plans to deal with those matters. And much progress has been achieved in that area. And we are at this point where there's much effort in making sure that all the ills of the past are addressed. Then the second part of her work is of looking at the preparation for the current audit as we close, we just closed the financial year, and simultaneously embarking on Operation Clean Audit targeted for 2014. With all the effort, we are mindful of the fact that in this 2013 financial year we just started now, we will not necessarily be achieving a clean audit immediately, but it's going to be a softer qualification, to put it that way, with this target of 2014 of achieving the cleaner audit. So Rachel is working with the team of management as well as the Auditor General team, and the reports that we are getting already from the feedback of the Auditor General is promising and quite positive. So we can already begin to see the effects of the interventions that we are making. And the team is hard at work now to make sure that come the 31st of May, we produce an auditable set of financial statements with less issues than we've experienced in the recent past. You will see when the CFOs do their presentations. We're not out of the red as yet, but there is a marked improvement already in dealing with some of the issues. Then moving on to the task that I'm involved with, which is improving our financial structure and our financial capacity as the main task. That has been happening together with the CFOs from the main account and the WTE, both the CFO and the deputy CFO, as well as the financial managers from the clusters and the regions. We've had a series of workshops that culminated in us agreeing on some structure that we have proposed to HR to take forward. And the basis of arriving at that structure was not to say, for example, probably those tasks could be performed by 10 people, as long as those people have the requisite skills. So this is now the engagement that we've had with the team to make sure that we're not just putting blocks, but to putting the people that will be relevant and with relevant skills to perform the task. So that exercise has achieved or beginning to achieve some of the goals. And again, that is also informed by the strategy or the whole mandate of the department. The department, through the minister, has approved the creation of the 9 CMAs, and also that will require their own financial support. We have taken that into account when we were looking at the regions to say what role will our finance team in the region play when we've got these CMAs operationally. And that role will be slant towards more a regulatory role, which then means that we must then match the financial skills and people that we have to be appropriate for that type of role. The second exercise that I have looked at is that of dealing with those expenditures that happened outside the regulated SCM channels. You need to look at sundry expenses, and they have been quite big in these numbers. We're talking some numbers between 2 to 4 billion a year that is allocated under sundry. So one has dug deep to find out what is the rationale to have that, and obviously when we complete our exercise now that is happening in the to complete it in April, we will be able to then go back to the finance team and advise them how to handle such matters. The third task that I'm looking at is that of aligning all the financial activities that happen within the department. Now you'll find that much effort is spent around the financial management of the infrastructure, where we spend billions, both in the creation and in the maintenance of our infrastructure. And there are instances where we've got parties that are independent entities like TCTA playing a role. And it is evident to say there is a bit of misalignment or misunderstanding between the parties as to who should play what in this whole value chain. So the exercise that I embarked on then was to identify this whole value chain and start to interrogate the business activities, the business processes that are happening under each. Like say for instance, where does the role of TCTA start and end? Where does the role of the construction branch within the department start and end? And what role must the CFOs in the main account and the WTE play? So with those activities then we will remove any ambiguity in terms of those roles, and we will be able to advise the minister to say this is how you should, for instance, craft your directives that you are giving to TCTA so that TCTA is instructed accordingly as to where their activities start and end and what are their financial reporting requirements. Also, you've got a situation within that where within the department, some branches like the construction branch have evolved to be operating as if they are independent of the department and not accountable or not following some of the processes that are prescribed within the department. So when we look at their activities, we then look at those with the objective of understanding what role are they playing in the whole value chain and making sure that all their processes, including their support functions, because you have a situation now that the Auditor General has been raising now and again the fact that the construction branch, for instance, have their own financial system, have their own HR system, etc. Now, this needs to be reined in to make sure that we all fall within the prescribed processes. So that will then culminate in one documenting the key business processes that happened in the whole value chain. That process also is beginning to show us some instances where we needed to reassess the funding arrangements of some of our projects. And we have already identified one project in Goba whereby the funding structure there can be improved through some refinancing efforts. And we've quantified already that there are immediate financial benefits to that exercise that the department will start to see, such that by the time it gets to the end of the financing lifespan of that project in 2027, amounts conservatively close to 200 million could be saved just through the effort of refinancing. We'll then be expanding such interrogation and assessment to all the projects that whose funding have been raised by the likes of TCTA. It is pleasing to report, though, that we have we are comfortable with the way that TCTA have gone out to market, and they against the myth that could have been there to say probably they in many instances not necessarily represent the interests of the department. We find that when they pursue those commercial deals, they do look at the most economic and appropriate funding structures. That exercise is ongoing, though, and we should be able to conclude it within time that we can implement our recommendations before the end of our tenure, June this year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. What I'm going to suggest is this is not the budget's being discussed. That's all going to come tomorrow and the next day, so I don't want any questions now about that. This is the broad strokes he's painted for us, what they're changing. So I want those kind of more broad general questions, if there are anything, specifically on finance. At the end of the meeting, I'll also give some more time if you want to ask any of the questions from anyone else. But at this time, while it's fresh, is there anything broadly that you felt has been left out or that you want clarity on? No? Can I ask two things? You know, and you probably have said it, it's just you're not giving us the detail. You know, the thing that worries me, or the committee, is the way in which the accounting takes place, the line of control on finance. Because the way the department operates is that, like Ms. Mabaza is in the region, so the finance people in her unit report to her. So immediately you have a conflict of interest. Because the same person giving the political decision is also the one who's giving the instructions to the finance person. Now, in many systems that I've looked at where it works better, it's where the finance people account to the CFO. Because then you take away that conflict. Of course, there is a level of consultation that takes place with the head of that unit, but the accounting takes place like that. I'm just wondering, have you guys looked at that? Is that one of the issues that falls under the things you've raised very clearly, or do you think that the way the system works is the right way? I just want to get clarity on that, because I think at the heart of the problem, that is where the problem lies. Because a person that heads a unit is trying to run all the regional projects. The last thing they are interested in looking at financial documents and making sure the things are being recorded properly. second is just a practical issue. Have we at all linked up and met with the Department of Home Affairs? I mean, that department is a prime example of a government department that has turned itself around. And surely there are a lot of things that can be learned there, even if it's the things that we shouldn't be doing. And they tell me there are quite a few things that we shouldn't be doing, that they did, which they made a mistake originally. So just to what extent that we met with them and talked through those issues and used their best practices. That's just the two issues I wanted to just get clarity on.
Thanks very much, and thank you for the presentation. It's been hugely useful. My question is to the chairperson. What challenges, if any, have you faced with actually engaging with permanent employees of the Department of Water? The reason I ask that is, I'm a big supporter of what you are doing, but you are mostly, if not all, outsiders in the department. And I'd like to say it's natural, I'm not saying it's acceptable, that there's always turf in a department. And of course, you know, particularly in the Department of Water, there are, the Minister has acknowledged it, there have been some fairly long-term systemic problems which she's inherited, which means that there have been civil servants who have been part of sustaining those particular problems. So, you know, not everyone wants outsiders coming in looking through their filing cabinets, or, you know, I say that in a metaphorical sense, basically. So, to what extent have you been able to actually, you know, get the buy-in from the officials in the department? And linked to that, really, is my question of what are you doing, and what can you give us in feedback with regards to sustainable change? Because your mandate obviously ends at the time, and you'll no doubt make a whole bunch of recommendations. And I'm very, very, very happy that many of the key positions in this department are currently being filled. And the Minister said that a large majority of the senior positions will be filled quite soon, and many have already been. So you are, in that sense, I guess it's a good thing, because there's a lot of senior management which is going to be new and not encumbered by the past. But making sure, doing everything possible to make sure that resolutions and suggestions are in fact instituted is an important part. Now, I know it's not your job to do it.
Yeah.
Of course, and I know you'll tell me that. Look, you know, you can only make recommendations and turn around. But I guess my broader point is, of course, you presumably have some kind of assessments about the likelihood of the people that you've been working with in fact doing this. It's up to the minister and her senior staff to actually do it. So I'd like you to be thoughtful on that, because I think the actual work and what's been chosen, the projects you've been working on, are excellent. I mean, the committee had their first sight of them, I think, late in the third quarter of last year. But we, of course, want sustainable change, and we don't want to, in a year after you've left, look back and say, well, you know, great recommendations, but not much has happened. So I'd like you to give us some of your feedback on that, and perhaps the Minister has some comments as well. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I just want to ask a question on the water resources management from local, provincial, and national, the relationship thereof, maybe the plan of the minister and the committee to manage that resource at the local level. How do we relate to that? That's it.
Thank you, Chair. First, let me compliment the Minister for establishing this team that I think, in my opinion, will really turn the department around. Linked to what Mr. Morgan has asked, have you maybe looked into the reasons behind this high vacancy rate in the department? And also whether the right procedures were followed in appointing people?
whether people were overlooked because of their color or any other reasons. Because we might find that someone has scored high points but is being overlooked. They opt for someone whom maybe is related to one in the department or friendship or whatever. So if we can also clarify us on that point.
Thank you, sir.
I'm just thinking, Chair, because we've just let finance report. Should you not just maybe do brief reporting of the remaining web streams? Because they will definitely help cover some of the issues and raise those questions. Mindful of the fact that we need to deal with each and every matter while it's fresh. But I think if we could take just a quick round of leading those discussions, then that can help.
We'll do that. I was hoping I'll just keep that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take answers to all those, and then we'll do that for the rest of the
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Minister. I'll be answering these questions in the order that they were asked, starting with the reporting structures. In this exercise of assessing the adequacy or otherwise in terms of the capacity that we have in finance, we drill down all the way to the regions. And in the workshops that we'll be having, it's been interactive in that way. The first workshop we had, in fact, we had all the 85 financial managers within the department-wide. And how it went about is that it started by them presenting all the challenges. And this issue that Chairperson has raised of the reporting line was one of the challenges that were raised. So we are addressing that then in our solution. Because also these financial managers came up with proposed solutions themselves, which I needed to assess and then tweak and then see what is it that will take the department forward. And I think simultaneously, I'll be addressing the challenges that we are having with the staff in that regard, and it's pleasing to report that in finance we had the utmost cooperation that we would have required. We found the senior people there hungry for recommendations and action, yet fatigued from consultants who have been in and out and the reports and whatever. And I think the basis that the minister had formed us, giving us that clear instruction of implementing as we progress, gave that hope to them. And I think it is in the spirit that they embrace the PR team. And talking to the benchmark, And again, that helps us to tone down the expectation that we can only achieve so much in a year. Okay? And also the cost factor of that, the cost of them turning around the Home Affairs was many multiples of the type of a budget that the minister has indicated. So that gave us a guide, in fact, in formulating and streaming down some of the prioritizing the project that we can honestly deliver on during our tenure. The issue of the local municipalities' financial management is an issue that is a concern, and again, we brought this to our scope of work because it was in public in terms of how much indebted were our water board dealing with those municipalities that could not sort their debt. So we are working with the team of Togo Squaza, who are constantly evaluating the level of such debt, and we do give input in terms of how to go about even making provisions on some of those amounts. In fact, we were discussing with the minister in as late as yesterday to say how is that being handled in her mind, and she feels comfortable that we are beginning to consider those debts quite seriously, whereby some of the interest in some of the very weak municipalities has been written off to just give them a relief, and arrangements have been entered into in terms of a payment plan going forward, recovering those monies simultaneously them paying their current debts. In as far as the vacancy rate and the employment, the minister has instructed us as members to get involved in that process. We come in that process, it may appear to be at a later stage, because we come in at the shortlisting first and then on the final stage. So when we get involved at the shortlisting, we do interrogate the job specs and all that is required in the job and look at the process that they've taken up to that point, to make sure that all these ills of nepotism, etc., are eliminated. And the team has been involved in many other areas, not only in finance, as we've been assisting the department in the recruiting of these SCMs. And there will be some progress report which we'll get to hear of, and one can draw comfort that in those positions that the members of the BPRC have been involved, we've made much effort to make sure that the recruitment goes according to plan. I would leave the questions arising from the press briefing for the minister to respond to. Thank you.
Just before we do that, Chair, if you allow me, I would like us to get Charlotte to cover the business, the cultural, structural business model that we're trying to get at. Then we'll talk to the issues raised by yourself or Mr. Long. The BPR team, specifically the OD team, is working closely with the various DDGs on in unpacking the different operating models, looking at the high-level business processes, and breaking it down to an extent where we become more effective and efficient so that we can deliver on the mandate of DWA. So from the concern around the finance question around whether we are making sure that our processes are aligned to meet the mandate, and I think my colleague Abel commented on that, we are definitely looking at the best way to be more effective and efficient. So if the reporting lines are requiring us to become more effective and efficient, to look at reporting directly to finance based on the business processes, we will then make sure that we align to that.
So what I'm stressing here is that we're definitely looking more not at boxes, but at specific requirements for the effective and efficiency of Dua, so that we can have a functional structure that meets the requirements of Dua. The other question that came up around the change sustainability of once we leave, the BPR committee leaves, I think what we need to emphasize is that when we came in here, our first request was to identify counterparts for Dua, to make sure that we bring on board teams that we can skill and update and transfer and develop. We're developing toolkits for these teams so that when we work with them, they're able to sustain whatever we put in place and implement. And as the minister said, we're flying while we're building the plane, or we're building while we're flying. We are implementing at the moment while we're building various processes, and while we're building the structure, we're also implementing areas where we can implement. So what is critical for us is that currently we're developing counterparts within Dua so that they take full ownership of the project and the processes, and they start running it. So going forward, at various meetings, you will find that Dua counterparts from with the BPR counterparts will be taking responsibility so that they can make it more sustainable. Does that answer your question on the sustainability?
Yeah, just an additional point.
Just in terms of looking at the implementation task at hand, we're looking at about 40 projects to deliver up until end of June, and of those 40 projects, about 2/3 of them are implementation projects. And those implementation projects will also eventually be factored into the revised business plan to ensure that the gains made and the improvements made are sustainable and they're managed according to KPIs. A typical example is the licensing process. If we look at that licensing process and streamline that licensing process, we'll have targets to monitor that licensing process into the future. So that's effectively how we're addressing the sustainability aspect.
Oh, the questions in the newspaper. No, we won't have the 500 billion thing, not in the strat plan, not in the APP now. This is this year's APP. This is perhaps an opportune moment just to walk through yourself, Honourable Chair and members, and Honourable members, the work, part of the work that we're doing. It would have come out and it will still come out of the infrastructure report that will be tabled later. And this is a going forward program.
We got a full report on that.
Yeah. Oh, you did, yeah. But really just to say that we do think that this is, and going forward from now, we need to, and we are thinking about providing support of water to the entire value chain in our society, and not just thinking about dam building for the sake of it or a pipeline for the sake of it. It is something, when we deal with water, we are mindful that we are supporting development. And this amount of money that we're talking about has been clearly calculated, at least at first phase, to look at what our requirements are to support the value chain. I did say that we have IPAP 1, IPAP 2, IPAP 1, IPAP 2. We have a new growth path is adopted as well. These developments, all of them require support of water. And that's why I'm saying water is central to everything. So this is an amount that is really about the value chain, the entire value chain. There's a second set of figures that is will be tabled again tomorrow as well, which is 230 billion rand over the next 10 years. That's required for, that's now, this is inclusive of what our water boards require to get support to those municipalities and the areas where they would be operating. By the way, may I as well say, when we come to the discussions about institutional realignment, you will pick up that we are getting to a point where we want every water board to have a specific footprint, so that you don't have two water boards crisscrossing and mixing in one province and not knowing where each one is actually operating and so on and so on. So there's going to be, we're proposing nine provinces, nine water boards, with a full footprint on the whole province and amalgamate some of the smaller ones that are not quite even efficient. But also looking at how we can get these water boards, the much more stronger ones supporting even areas that are weaker. Because you have a water board sometimes that is having a very full, huge amount of money, muscle, that's operating in a very muscled, highly muscled area, and others just being weak and operating in weaker areas. So that kind of consideration is also being made. Now, this is 230 billion rand for water boards, for our own infrastructure of water resource, as well as the water services infrastructure, new infrastructure, and 96 billion rand for maintenance and operations and maintenance. We have looked at our, you'll see, Chair, we are having a slide in our presentation of infrastructure, where we have looked at the entire infrastructure, even up to the waste treatment plants in our country, not just this time arising from the blue drop and green drop report, but evaluation, practical evaluation about what we have missed out, not having gotten the municipalities to maintain and operate these facilities in a proper manner. We are almost getting to a very difficult situation, and this is the time to wake up. And that is, if we are even to lose out on a little bit on infrastructure, new infrastructure going forward, so be it. But this maintenance thing is almost a near crisis. We have to attend to it. So it's a 230 billion rand and 96 billion. This is a second set of figures. Now, the third set of figures that we're talking about is about our own internal water resource infrastructure, which is 69 billion rand. That is now for our own dams, our own reservoirs, you know, where water resource operates. That is a requirement per annum up to that point. So we have quantified this, not that we want to have just our own, but we're looking at getting the country to look at water resource alone, needs and water resource and water services put together with its maintenance, as well as the longer, broader sectoral and value chain. So this is the picture we were trying to paint. I suppose you can't write it in a newspaper as I'm talking.
It's
so,
like
so,
it is not sensational.
Yeah, and then people just pick up 578. Need 578 billion rand. Where will she get it from? And then the next question is, it means the tariffs are going to be increasing. Do you think we are going to increase the tariffs? No. We are not saying we are going to increase it. However, that's one part of our job that we have to do. And that job is on the pipeline. We have started already. We're thinking about working on the tariff standardization. Because right now, I mean, Chair, just agree with me, you know, we have tabled the reports in Parliament of all the water boards' increases of the tariffs. One comes saying an increase of 12 rand, one 21 rand, one 18 rand, one whatever. We need to have a standard kind of approach in that, and some 23 rand and so on. We need to have a standard tariff. We're providing water to South Africans. A South African who is in one corner of this world has got to be fairly this thing. So we have to deal with that part. And then the question is, given this amount of money that you need, then you have to increase the tariffs. No, we are not yet at that point. We'll cross the river when we come to it. We don't even know whether we'll say let's subsidize and how far we subsidize if it's above inflation. We don't know. So we are going to work with South Africans for South Africans to determine this aspect. That's what we said yesterday. And again, I suppose it can be written like this. In the newspaper, I say there's an English word there. What? Tariff. Trickle up.
They call it what? Trickle up.
Thank you very much. I think that's it, Chair.
We're not going to have this.
No, Chair.
Please. Let me check.
Something very important.
Let me check. Minister has made a point that we should take all the reports.
I do.
we're now getting into complete detail about nothing has got to do with the prophecy. I'm going to give you a follow-up because you're forcing my answer. But I mean, that's really unacceptable. How do you do it?
Sorry for that, Chair.
Not a cool chair. Chair, the lady there, I forgot her name. And she spoke of leaving behind a skin to make sure that this what this thing has been does not come out. Now, I want to try to understand whether you are referring to a permanent team that will be established or appointing skilled people into this senior position.
Capacitating the current leadership within DWA.
That's page 12 of the report on the last on Morgan's question. The minister is going to put in a mechanism in place to monitor all these things. So I can see that.
So it's both the monitoring does the effect.
Thank you, Minister. Good morning, honourable members. I think for us, the proof of the pudding is in the eating, and with the interim AG audit that has taken place, we've already noted a significant number of findings. On the main account specifically, we're looking at about a 30% reduction in the audit findings from the previous financial year to this financial year. Once the WTE interim audit is finalised, we will be able to give honourable members a specific report on the reduction of audit findings with that report. So I think it's important for us to be able to note that there's really significant improvements in the audit findings. Thank you.
Can we have a 5-minute break? We'll let you grab some coffee and we come back and then minister, then we'll do the rest of the report. Then we'll take all the reports. Because clearly, unless you've got the whole picture, we're going to ask you.
Okay,
5 minutes is this much, eh?
I know.